walked up to the road rage. We're putting a poll question together as we speak on this topic that we've engaged in for much of this afternoon. So that's going to be up on the website. We're going to give you three choices. You can tell me which was the biggest Clemson play of 2021. Now, if you think it's a different play, that's fine, but your answer is not going to be one of ours. Okay. You're going to have to choose from these three, right? One was the one that the Clemson cast chose, which was, and we'll get to this one later, was the Will Shipley 31-yard TD run to put Clemson up 7-0 against South Carolina. All right, so that's one of the choices. That's actually not going to be my choice, but I'll save my choice. The next one was the fourth down stop against Louisville inside the 5-yard line. And I actually need to think about the exact fourth down play. What do you remember the fourth down play?
I'm going through and pulling up the box score right now. I couldn't tell you it from memory. I just know that it was a fourth down stop.
Yeah, you know what? If you can, look up that game and check the video highlights of it and see who carried the ball on fourth down. Was it Cunningham? I don't recall. There was a whole sequence of plays that gained no yardage down there at the 5-yard line. So we need the exact specifics of that. We'll put that up. And the other one for me is going to be the Shipley 21-yard touchdown run in the fourth quarter against Florida State with under 3 minutes left, which put Clemson up in that game finally. That was a really tough physical run. So Shipley has two of the plays. Honestly, Shipley had most of the big plays that were made. George and Jeff. Jeff, how are you?
Walter, how are you, sir?
Good, Jeff. Appreciate you getting in.
Yeah, man. So real quick, I want to touch on that SEC West real quick and the SEC in general. Mm-hmm. I agree 1,000%. It's Georgia and Alabama, or Alabama and Georgia, I should say, right now. And there's some decent little teams after that, but
yeah, who's third?
They're trash, man.
Right. Who's the third best? Who's the third best team in the SEC this year?
I think you can make an argument for Kentucky or Mississippi State.
Well, I do too, but the problem is the SEC media doesn't agree with that because they picked Mississippi State sixth in a 7-team division. Sixth.
Yeah, I don't know how you can do that when you've got one of the best quarterbacks in the league coming back.
Stupid. It's ignorance. It's like not wanting to admit that Mike Leach can come into their league and do those things. I mean, again, they picked A&M. You know, Leach and Mississippi State beat A&M in Kyle Field last year at Texas A&M.
Yeah.
And they bring back 17 players.
Best quarterback.
Right. Will Rogers threw for nearly 5,000 yards. And so he's back, and the majority of that offense is back. The loose cross at left tackle, the majority of that team is back. They return more starters than anybody else in the SEC. By the way, you SEC people, I know I started the SEC preview, and we did Tennessee and Florida, and we're stuck there. We're going to get right back to that on Monday. Plan on tuning in Monday as well for the next SEC preview edition. I'm covering the entire league.
That's awesome. Well, keep in mind, Will Rogers and that team walked into Athens in 2020 and took Georgia all the way to the wire, and that was with all that defensive talent, defense talent, and all that stuff, and the great JT Daniels, the gunslinger.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch him for West Virginia. Oh my goodness, be game four. I'll be transferring somewhere else.
Yeah, real quick, I think somebody already said it, or that's what y'all were just talking about, the pass. As soon as Deshaun Watson made that first pass against Georgia in that game in 2014, I think that not only didn't necessarily change the season, in my opinion, but it changed everybody's perspective for hope, and it also changed the Clemson fan base. I think that singular play gave Clemson motivation for the years to come. And I'll take it off air.
Yeah, I think it's a good call on your part. All right, Wilson, what did you find out? What was the fourth down play that Louisville ran? I don't recall specifically.
So it was a passing play. It was a rollout, and Cunningham attempted to scramble for the touchdown, but he slipped and fell as he was about to get tackled.
At what yard line?
The play started at the 5 yard line. He went down at the 7.
Okay. So I think that's the other play. The fourth down stop of Cunningham and in the Louisville game, which was huge. And so there are your three plays. It's and that poll is going up now. So participate in the poll. I won't be here tomorrow, so I probably won't review this, but make this poll run, through Tuesday of next week. We'll keep it alive that long because I'm not going to be here to talk about it tomorrow. So, but get in and give me your best play from the 2021 season. Again, not a lot of offensive plays to choose from last year in the 2021 season. I think that it's like Shipleyville and then the one defensive option. And there were other defensive options. We could have chosen the BC game. There were lots of defensive options. There are all sorts of defensive options. We could have chosen the stop at the end of the BC game, but that was Boston College self-destructing. Bad snap. Grossell could have caught it, didn't. And they put the ball on the ground. Let's be honest. When Cunningham hit that long throw down to the 5 yard line or whatever it was, every Clemson fan watching thought that game was over and that Louisville had won. I think it was inside the 5, wasn't it? Didn't that throw go to like the 2 or something? I think every Clemson fan thought that game was over, and somehow that defense bowed up and stopped them 4 times inside the 5 yard line, which was remarkable. But and then the ship we run against Florida State. They chose the and you can't argue with it. I mean, there are other plays you can cite. They chose the Shipley run against South Carolina. I prefer the Shipley run against Florida State myself. I try not to influence these polls, but I do, because I thought that was one of the toughest 21-yard runs I've ever seen, and that run won the game as opposed to, you know, a score in the first quarter or something. That game with Florida State was in the balance. I mean, Clemson was losing. I mean, and when Shipley scored from 21 and broke a number of tackles and made people miss too. I mean, I need to go back and look at that run. I remember thinking that's one of the better 21-yard runs I've ever seen. For me personally, I know the other is the rivalry game, but it was early in the game. For me personally, it would be those other two. It would be either the fourth down stop against Louisville or it would be the Shipley 21-yard run to put Clemson ahead of Florida State. You have a thought, Will? You have a choice between those three plays. Which one do you want?
I mean, from last year was a defensive season. I would go with the stop against Louisville.
I can see that. I want you to pull up that 21-yard run by Shipley, though, again, and watch it. Watch it during the break and tell me if you're still going with that, the defensive stop. Because, again, that Shipley run, I just remember, I've not seen it since last year. I'm going by memory. But I just remember thinking that Shipley run was one of the best 21-yard runs I'd ever seen. And I think there were 2 jukes in it as well, if memory serves. I'm going to look that up myself during the break as well. You want to get in, 654-7627, you get in. All right, 2014 then. We have a debate on 2014. Todd and Bo went with, of the Clemson cast, went with jet sweep action to Artavis Scott, who scored on a 70-yard run against South Carolina. And it seems the majority of people who have responded, both on text line and phone lines, would prefer Deshaun Watson's touchdown pass against Georgia that sort of got everything going. All right, 2015, Robert wasn't sure on 2015. I'm with them on 2015. I think this is an easy one. And again, you know what? Let me pull up 2015 schedule and just look at the schedule and see if there's anything else that comes to mind. But I'm inclined, just at first glance, to go with them.
If I had to guess, looking at the schedule, I would say that the fake punt against Oklahoma.
Oh.
First time in the playoff, game in the balance.
That's a good one. It's not who they went with. And I'm inclined to go with the one they went with here, but that's a good call. Yeah, it's a game that Clemson eventually blew out and won comfortably and probably would have won with or without that play. Would you agree?
At the end of the game, yes. That was a huge momentum builder.
Right. But Clemson was just a better team, right?
Yes. Fair.
So here's the one they chose. They chose 2015 Notre Dame Clemson and the stop on the two-point conversion. I'm buying that because I don't think you even get to Oklahoma if you don't have that stop.
It's hard to beat that play.
Yeah, I mean, you know, remember that night, torrential rain. I mean, torrential rain, just as brutal as can be. And Clemson gets off to the big lead, and then Notre Dame in the second half, Kaiser starts playing out of his mind. I think he threw for over 200 yards in the second half, starts bringing Notre Dame back in the pouring rain, and you're thinking, man, this is impossible. And Notre Dame cuts it. You know, I went back and actually watched the end of this, not just this play, the end of this game today, just to refamiliarize myself with what happened. But if you remember, what happened is Notre Dame was driving to try and get the score and two-point conversion to tie, and they fumbled with 2 minutes left at the 7-yard line as they're going in. They fumbled, and the game appeared to be over. Clemson had the ball back, had an 8-point, 24-16 lead, and it ball in Deshaun Watson's hands. It appeared to be over. Notre Dame 3-and-outed Clemson. That Notre Dame defense stood tall in that game, and they 3-and-outed Clemson. They forced Clemson a punt, and Notre Dame caught the punt on Clemson's side of the field and had a good return. And so they brought the ball right back to the 32-yard line. And so they have first and 10 from the 32-yard line with 1:05 left. On the first down play, the ball slips out of Kaiser's hands, and now they're facing 2nd and 16, then a 3rd and 16, and eventually they pick that up. Kaiser with like a 20-yard completion, and they pick that first down up, and then they punch it in. Kaiser makes a brilliant throw to Fuller, and they punch it in, and now we're a two-point conversion away from a tie, 24-22. And, you know, you're wondering what Notre Dame is confident in, what Kelly wants to go with in the rain. They went a little conservative, I think, because, again, Kaiser had really thrown the ball so incredibly well in the rain in the second half. As I said, over 200 yards passing in the second half. But they went with a Kaiser roll. It was a design run. It wasn't a run pass type of play. It was a design quarterback run all the way around right end, and he had a lead blocker. And at first, it looks like it might break open. At first, it looks like that might be the case. But two things happened on the play because I wanted to watch that play again in the last few minutes of that game. But two things happened on that play. Dodd and Watkins both set a hard edge. They both stood tall. They stood up offensive linemen on the play. And so the alley that Kaiser had to get through was small. He had a lead blocker on the play, his running back, lead blocker on the play, and that running back was responsible to get to the second level and pick off Boulware. Boyer saw that coming because he was such a smart player and instinctive as well. And he beat the blocker. He beat the blocker inside and helped turn that thing back into Watkins as well. And there was sort of a massive humanity there at like the 1.5-yard line. But on the play, you would have to give three Clemson defenders credit, because when I first saw it, I thought, yeah, it looks like he has an alley and he's going to score. But Dodd Watkins, both stood their guys up. Dotton's being blocked by the tight end. Dotton and Watkins both stood their guys up. So they Dotton set the hard edge. There was nowhere to turn it back inside because Watkins had beaten his man, basically, stood him up and was shedding him. The chance was to hit that alley, and Boulware beat the running back block, got his head in front of it, turned it back into the mass of humanity. And so really three guys for Clemson's defense, Dodd, Watkins, and Boulware stopped that two-point conversion. And Clemson was able to go on and win the game. And so I would tend to agree with that selection. I think it was a really big play. And again, having watched the ending of that game this morning, that's what I saw in film about, you know, those three guys standing tall. I remembered Boulware's role in it, but, you know, in watching it again today, I was able to see again what Dodd and Watkins had done in the play as well, as was pointed out also on the broadcast. We'll take a quick break. Wild Tip Tula Road Rage.
What's better than hitting the road for a vacation with the family? Your favorite song is on and smiling faces. Okay, there may have been occasional "Are We There Yet?" and "Don't Make Me Come Back There" for the 10th time in an hour. But you don't mind, because you know one thing. You have a brand new reliable vehicle from Granger Nissan of Anderson. You know that will keep them safe. They take care to know what you and your family needs. Visit 3510 Clemson Boulevard or online at GrangerNissanOfAnderson.com.
Buying a new or pre-owned vehicle can be a challenging task. The George Coleman Ford team strives to change that. Perhaps that's why their online reviews and multiple Ford President's Awards speak volumes. And with new inventory arriving monthly, you can find the vehicle you've been looking for or have George Coleman Ford order one for you. Never any hidden fees or phantom charges at George Coleman Ford. Plain and simple, old-fashioned, honest business. The best is found in Traveler's Rest. George Coleman Ford.
William Nichols from Scores Jewelers. You know, I'm very fortunate to work in an industry that's almost entirely focused on celebrating life's good times and milestones. Like the anniversary highlighting 5, 10, 15 years or more spent with your best friend, birthdays and Christmases, and maybe the biggest day of all, the marriage of two people. Her engagement ring is more than just a diamond and a piece of gold. On the day it's given as a gift, it becomes a meaningful symbol marking the start of your new life together. In a few years, you won't remember the price tag on her engagement ring, but you will remember that look on her face when you open the box. That moment of sheer joy and excitement that says so many things to her that you could never express in words. This is the true value of a ring. The reason these things are handed down from one generation to the next. She's the one. Show her with the ring from Scores Jewelers. We'll help you find or make the perfect ring that says everything you want to say the moment you open the box for her. I'm William Nichols of Scores Jewelers in Anderson and online at scoresdiamondjewelers.com, and I want to be your jeweler.
This is a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup sound experiment. We're looking to find the perfect way to hear Reese's so you'll buy more of them. Here we go. Reese's.
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 Reese's. Hey, get out of here, you little stinker.
Reese's.
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 Peanut butter cups.
That breathy one sounded very creepy, am I right?
I always wanted to learn Spanish, but I never thought I'd have the time. Then I discovered Babbel.
Babbel's lessons are fun. They only take like 10 or 15 minutes, and in 3 weeks, presto, you're speaking another language. Like magic.
I love that Babbel's lessons aren't just robots talking. They're voiced by native speakers, so you get the pronunciation just right. And they're designed by real language teachers, so you learn how to have real-world conversations, things you'll actually use.
3 weeks. It's incredible. After 3 weeks, I'm on vacation in Paris, having a conversation in French.
There's all kinds of ways to learn. Use Babbel's podcasts or games or videos. You can even join live classes with a language teacher.
If you want to learn a language, there's no faster, easier, better way than
Babbel.
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 Babbel. Évidemment.
Go to Babbel.com to try for free. That's BABBEL.com. Babbel.com.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
The Upstate Sports Authority.
This is incredible.
We are 105.5 and 97.5.
Give him a lot of credit. He got that left arm underneath the ball.
Where every day is game day. We are the Roar.
We are back. You know, you can go answer the poll question. I'm asking, we give you three play choices from 2021. What was the best football play by Clemson in 2021? We give you three options. You know, I'm watching the Shipley run against Florida State, and that's what I'm going with. You can go with whatever you want. It's on the Will said he's going with the defensive stop because it's a defensive year, and I get that. You know, you want to reward the defense, but also Cunningham slipped a little on that fourth down play. Shipley made this play. This is one of the best 21-yard runs you're ever going to see. He cuts back twice against the grain on a 21-yard run, which is almost impossible, makes two people almost miss completely, and then drags number 20 for 5 yards into the end zone. And that run won the game. I think most of these calls on here by them are good. We've had people debate 2014. I could see that either way. I think more people sort of agree with Robert's position on 2014. It's the Sean Watson touchdown against Georgia. But the 2021, you know, again, Todd and Bo, this is subjective, but they chose the Shipley 30-yard run against South Carolina. My deal on that was that Clemson was just so much better, you know, won the game 30-0, that I don't think that's the play to me. You know, I think it was a great run, but that's early in the game too. It's 7-0. The Shipley run, the 21-yard run against Florida State, won the game. Clemson was losing. Clemson was about to lose to Florida State when Shipley made that run, and basically wouldn't be denied. Two cutbacks, makes two people almost whiff completely in a 21-yard run, and then runs through 20 and drags them 5 yards into the end zone. That's my 2021. You make your call on the website, theroarfm.com. Follow the prompt upper right-hand corner for polls. You make your call. I try not to influence these polls, but I'm here. It's Thursday, and I'm talking about these plays as part of our conversation. So, and again, you know, Will chose the defensive stop. You can choose anything you want. You can go with Todd and Bo. Make your choice. There are three plays up there. But I'm going with that Shipley 21-yard run because I think it's one of the best 21-yard runs I've ever seen, and I think it is a sign of things to come. Stano, how are you?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Walt?
Good, Stano. Appreciate you getting in, as always.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. A play, and I know I'm sort of behind the times of what y'all talking about, but a play that really stood out to me was in the 2016 playoff game, a championship, when Alabama intercepted the ball and Hunter Renfrow caught the guy and made the tackle. So he couldn't score a touchdown, and they only scored 3 points on that play.
Yeah.
I mean, that was unbelievable. That may have won the game for us.
Yeah, no question. You know, Hunter Renfrow, at whatever he is, 5'10", 170, whatever he is one of the best, toughest, under-6-foot football players ever. You know, he may not run very fast. You know, he may, you know, look like an accountant, but man, is he a tough young player. I mean, and you know, you saw last year, teams tried to knock him out. The Raiders complained to the league about it because teams are, you just can't knock him out. He's too tough.
Well, like I said, I just thought that it's interesting that maybe one of the best plays was
Yeah.
An offensive guy making a defensive play.
Yeah. It's a good call, Stino. It's a good call.
I appreciate it, Walt. Yeah.
Thank you. Well done. As always. Thank you. Clark wants to talk about a 2018 play. See, this is what I want. This is good. I mean, people are talking about things in advance of us even getting to them, which is good. I find out whether people match some of these picks that the Clemson cast made or not. I found some agreement with them and some differences, which you're going to. It's subjective. In 2014, I'm more inclined to go with the Deshaun Watson thing. And the pass against Georgia, which sort of set the tone. And in 2021, I'm definitely going the Shipley run against Florida State. That's my pick. Clark, how are you?
Hey, guys.
How you doing, Clark? Appreciate you getting in.
Good. Well, this is my personal opinion. Probably my favorite time to be a Clemson fan was when Clemson had the ball at the end of the game against Alabama, and they did it was like a 7 or 8 minute drive, and they went all the way down to like the 5 yard line, and they just let time expire. That last drive they had, I mean, you could just look at Alabama, the faces of the players and the fans,
yeah,
and they knew then that Clemson football was here to stay. May not get there every year or win one every year, but that brand is now a legitimate contender in college football. And the way ETN, I think he had a long run on that drive. It's like 50 yards maybe. But ETN, man, he run the football like crazy that game. And there was one play when that first touchdown that ETN scored, I think it was like a little – it was kind of like a little jet sweep to the left. And he carried two Alabama defensive backs into the end zone. But that was probably my favorite time to be a Clemson fan because, you know, all we've ever heard, you can't beat Alabama. And that was supposed to be the best college football team ever, was that Alabama team when they were 15-0.
Yeah, you know what always happens with every one of these best ever teams? They always lose. All these best ever teams, I've seen tons of best ever teams because it's remarkable how many best ever teams we can have. And what they all share in common is they almost always lose.
And you know,
Tennessee baseball. Wasn't Tennessee baseball the best ever? And I picked against them. Yeah. I said, they're not going to win because I hear this all the time.
Yeah.
And they lost.
Yeah, because all I ever saw was that guy that was throwing at 105 miles.
Yeah, that's right.
That's all you ever saw.
Yeah.
But when Clemson played LSU, I think a couple years later, Clemson was very well in that game in the third quarter. And it's like they just stopped running ETN because they come out in the second half, and I think ETN had 8 runs, and they went down and scored. And it was within reach at that time, and all of a sudden, just stopped running ETN.
Well, but there were two other things in that particular game. One was that Trevor wasn't sharp by his own admission, did not play his best football. And the other was the defense gave up 650 yards.
Yeah.
You're not going to win. Not going to win many games to give up 650 yards.
You're right. Hey, thanks, Walt.
Thank you, Clark. Good job. So Clark's picking an ETN run in 2018 for TD against Bama. That is not the one that the Clemson cast picked. That is not the play that the Clemson cast picked. Now, Mitch wants to get in on 2018 as well, so we'll do that. Mitch, how are you?
Hey, Walt, how's it going?
Good, Mitch. So what's your play in 2018?
Yeah, so looking at 2018, I mean, obviously the Alabama game, you got a couple plays there. I think the A.J. Terrell pick six, probably a good one.
Yep.
But my personal favorite is
by the way, before you give me yours, that's the one they picked.
Okay, yeah, that one's hard to beat. But my personal favorite is the sack that Xavier Thomas had against Syracuse at the end of the game.
Oh, yeah.
So it was the game Trevor got knocked out, I think, and Chase Bryce had to come in. Basically, that 4th-and-16 play or whatever it was that he had. And then the, I don't know, the sack by XT I thought was one of the better highlight plays I can remember in a long time.
Yeah.
the stadium was crazy loud at that point, and I thought that was just such a great play. And I remember that Syracuse quarterback, I forget his name, he was like showboating around half the game because he thought they were going to win.
Dungy.
Trevor got knocked out. Yeah, Dungy, that's it. He was like kind of high-stepping out of bounds a time or two, and then XT just rocked him there then. So, I got some personal satisfaction.
Yeah. I see you working there, Mitch. No, I like it. Yeah, now, are you? And again, without some of those plays, you don't even get to the plays against Alabama. You know, that's the interesting part of it. Without some of the early season plays, you know, you don't get to the game against Alabama.
No, not at all.
And Chase Brice played a huge role in that football game. No question.
Yeah, I mean, without his plays there down the stretch, we may have not been seeing the playoffs.
So, he's still playing.
I definitely agree there. Yeah, exactly. I know. How long ago was that?
Yeah, it seems like forever, but he, dude, is still playing. He's probably going to beat North Carolina this year.
Yeah, that's
funny. Yep. Thank you, Mitch. Good job. Yeah, that's pretty interesting. Yeah, I mean, look, I think you can pick plays from all different points of the season. So far we've covered, we've skipped ahead a little because of people raising particular plays, etc., which is fine. That's sort of the nature of the conversation I wanted to have on this. Dave, how are you?
Hey buddy, how you doing?
Good, Dave, appreciate you getting in.
Oh, good, man. So yeah, I was on there talking to your guy and I was trying to describe, so I tuned in late, but one play that I like, and it's not the best play in the world, but it's one of those plays that just make you love college football. We were trying to define, I think we were trying to decide which game it was. I think it was Furman. Do you remember the one where that little skinny, it might have been a safety, but I think it was an outside linebacker, tried to stop Wayne Gallman on the goal line, and Wayne just shouldered him and knocked him back 6 foot.
Come on, you can't be taking Wayne Gallman against Furman players as your best play, Dave.
Well, no, not best play, because everybody's going to bring up Deshaun Watson getting hit in the North Carolina game and cut the flip, and the play to Hunter Renfro and all the big games that make ESPN. But I was at that game, and I was 20 feet from that play happening, and just the energy in that stadium was one of those you had to be there to kind of appreciate the moments. But it was kind of – that right there kind of changed the feel what you had about Wayne the rest of the year. Now, there's, you know, other plays you can throw up out there that kind of
Gallman was so tough and physical. He was just, he's your definition of a hard-nosed runner.
He was violent. God, he was violent. But as far as out of all the players, though, I think, oh, my God, out of all the players, I think one of my favorite ones, do you remember, God, this is going to be close. I think this was Sammy's last year. So it might have been 11, but I think it was 12. Do you remember the one where – no, actually, it was in the Georgia game, and Tosh threw it a little behind, and Georgia thought they had the ball. He threw it right to the safety, and before he could cradle it, Sammy just turned around him over his shoulder, grabbed the ball, pulled it back out, and walked in.
So that was not the 77-yard touchdown pass to Watkins in that game? That's a different – because now, the play that they chose from 2013 was 7-7 first quarter against Georgia. I watched the play again this morning, and on that play, Watkins runs a little in route. He catches the ball. He does a pirouette, and he cuts it back in the direction he came from towards the sideline. He goes 77 yards with Georgia players chasing.
Okay, so there was that one. It might have not been a Georgia game. There was another game that year where Tosh threw it a little behind, and Sammy literally had to reach behind him and take the ball out of the guy's hands and keep on running.
Yeah, I remember that too. I'm not sure which game that was.
Yeah. Okay, so, but, and again, like I said, I tuned in kind of late. I was reading something on my phone, and I figure, you know, you're like my favorite guy to vent to on here just because we find the same things kind of, you know, funny. But now I was on there reading some stuff on TigerNet, reading some stuff on there, and did you see the comments – that little Rico boy that South Carolina signed at quarterback is saying?
I did not.
Oh, man, you got to go in there and read it. He's on there trying to convince guys to come to Carolina, saying Carolina's the top school in South Carolina, and for years Carolina was on top, and they're going to be back on top soon.
Well, they lost 30 to nothing last year.
I know. And I'm just laughing. Like, what is, like, what the heck is he talking about being on top of? Like, you know, like the Scrub Bowls playing against, like, you know, Oklahoma State and Syracuse's? Because I don't remember them being on top. I recall them having a couple 11-win seasons with Spurrier. But other than that, they've always been Georgia's punching bag. They're always going to be the SEC punching bag. And they just need to focus on making a bowl game before they start convincing players are going to win the title.
Thank you, Dave. Good job. You know, Joe, I'll come right to you. Joe will offer a different opinion, I think, than the one that Dave just offered, Joe being a Gamecock fan. But, you know, again, I do see signs in South Carolina's program. And I will say this, for about 5 years there, South Carolina's teams were just filthy. That unfortunately for Taj Boyd, he had to live through that period. He had to live through that period where Clowney and all those cats on defense were coming after him every game. He faced the most difficult South Carolina teams that, you know, with all due respect to the history, you know, I know that South Carolina has had some real good teams in individual years. That period under Spurrier with all those defensive dogs, all those war daddies that they had, they were pretty filthy then. We'll take a quick break. Waltip Tula Road Rage.
Zero Res Carpet and Air Duct Cleaning, the most trusted and reviewed cleaning company in town. Take advantage of their back-to-school sale going on now. Get 3 rooms of carpet cleaned for only $129 when you mention my name, Mickey Pollard, at WCCP. Easy schedule your cleaning online at ZeroResGreenville.com.
Mattress shopping is brutal, almost as bad as buying a used car. Engineered Sleep has made the process of finding the perfect mattress simple and easy. Each mattress sold is designed and made themselves, making it less confusing and saves you hundreds of dollars buying it direct from the manufacturer. Better Sleep is only 70 cents a night. Visit Monday through Saturday for a stress-free and pleasant experience. Use WCCP for 10% off and 2 free pillows. Up to $475 savings. Free local delivery. American made. EngineeredSleep.com. Better Sleep. Rest assured.
What's better than hitting the road for a vacation with the family? Your favorite song is on and smiling faces. Okay, there may have been occasional "Are We There Yet?" and "Don't Make Me Come Back There" for the 10th time in an hour. But you don't mind, because you know one thing. You have a brand new reliable vehicle from Granger Nissan of Anderson. You know that will keep them safe. They take care to know what you and your family needs. Visit 3510 Clemson Boulevard or online at GrangerNissanOfAnderson.com.
Gilstrap Roofing has an experienced team that specializes in shingle, metal, and flat roofs for residential, commercial, and industrial customers. Their dedication to complete customer satisfaction is why a large portion of their business comes from repeat customers and referrals. If you need a full-service roofing contractor that has over 80 years of experience and takes pride in top customer satisfaction, Gilstrap Roofing has got you covered. Call for your free roofing estimate today at 269-1232 and online at gilstraproofing.com.
Hey, sports fans, if you want to join a growing team that's making a difference in people's lives, Arthrex is hiring. They develop innovative technologies that help treat orthopedic injuries around the world and right here in our community. Arthrex supports local community and is proud to be a part of the upstate. Join a company that provides exciting career opportunities, job security, great benefits, and has a state-of-the-art manufacturing campus. Visit careers.arthrex.com today. No manufacturing experience required. Together, we are making people better.
It's time to discover the perfect gift at Turner's Jewelers. You'll find dazzling jewelry guaranteed to make her smile on a special occasion or just because. Stunning silver and gold, gems and diamonds, earrings, watches, and so much more. Choose a wedding band as beautiful as she is and as bold as you. Plus, Turner's can custom create any piece for your lifestyle. Find the sparkle in every moment online at turnersjewelers.com or stop by Turner's Jewelers in the Applewood Shopping Center in Seneca.
Get a guaranteed offer from Mark Spain Real Estate and sell your home hassle-free. Hi, this is Mark Spain, and our offers are the strongest in the industry, so you can sell your home stress-free and make the most money. When you get a guaranteed offer from Mark Spain Real Estate, there are no showings, no open houses, and no stress. Our guaranteed offer keeps you in control. Find out what your guaranteed offer would be. There's no obligation. Call 855-299-SOLD or go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing.
Certain restrictions apply.
Tuning in from the car? Stay connected to the Roar after you run your errands using our app or website. Download the Roar app on your phone by searching WCCPFM The Roar in the App Store. Or tune in on our website, theroarfm.com/listen.
Some people say
out there to the road race. Texter 828 says, personal favorite play was Sammy Watkins throwing a TD pass to Ellington at Florida State. Could hear a pin drop in that stadium after that. Yeah. Will, during the break, was telling me about, and Joe, I'm coming right to you, about a friend of his, who somebody knows who has gone to Florida to Python wrangle. And I was explaining, you know, the belief now is that the python, the Burmese python, has become the number one apex predator in the Florida Everglades, even above the alligator. And you know, the one they found recently, which was near just under 18 feet, was carrying 122 eggs. And so they can have all of the wrangler roundups they want. They're still not going to be able to control this, and they know it, but they're trying to control it, not eradicate it. I mean, they'd love to eradicate it, but it's too late. Too late to eradicate it. Too vast a habitat. And Will asked me, you know, how many people does it take to control an 18-foot snake? An 18-foot python is dangerous, period. You know, I've said this before. People who know, you know, my friend used to run reptile gardens in Rapid City, South Dakota, for years, and where they house the largest, it's an astronome, it's open to the public, two stories of the largest venomous snake collection in the world. And this guy, whose name was Don Mitta, he was the first person to house multiple mambas in a closure, etc. But the only snake he feared was a 22-foot albino Burmese python that he would not go into that enclosure without help. When I was there, I went into the enclosure with him. He had some tricks that he used to try and back it off, but God, when you're in the presence of a 22-foot snake, as I was in that cage, as his partner that day, that is a scary animal. It just is, because when you go into their enclosures, it's frequently to feed them. When you're feeding them, you get a feeding response, and you get wrapped up by a 22-foot snake. You know, good luck to you. You know, the people who actually the masters of big snake keeping generally have mirrored walls and carry machetes on their waist. Because of that, you need to see how and where you're wrapped up, and that's the reality of it. And those are people who have vast experience with those animals. You know, not some schmuck who decided, you know, on Saturday, man, I think I'll go to the Everglades and pythons. You know, Joe, how are you, Joe?
How's it going, Walt? You know, I guess what you're trying to say is that it might drain the gene pool a little bit.
Yeah, it might.
how fast can one of those wrap up somebody? I'm just curious.
Oh, it's like instantaneous. It's like, you know, like, and
10 seconds, 15, something like that.
No, it's less than that. I mean, once they grab you, and bite onto you, I mean, there you will be shocked at how fast a giant snake can move in wrapping up their prey. And once you get to that point, good night. Again, this guy. I'm telling you about, this guy was a master handler of venomous snakes. I mean, an absolute master. And the one snake he wanted no part of was this 22-foot python.
Well, when I saw that video of one of them, and I don't know if it was a python or an anaconda, I don't know. It was squeezing a van and pushing it down and denting the hood. That was enough for me. I was like, that was pretty serious. And I don't think it was a fake one. It didn't look fake to me. It was like one of those cheap vans, the cargo vans in the back. You know what? I was going to ask you a question, an NFL question. If you had two coaches, just two, and you had to parachute them in to the worst franchise in the NFL, and I'm going to pick on the Detroit Lions here, to turn them into a consistent playoff team, let's just say playoff team for 10 years, who would you pick right now?
Well, you know, I actually think they have a pretty good guy for the job right now, but if you're talking like quick turnaround, I mean, I guess your question really is, who's the best coach in the NFL right now? I don't know. Maybe it's Andy Reid. I'm not sure. I'm really not. I don't think it's Bill Belichick anymore. I think that ship has sailed. I don't know. I would need to.
I still think it's Sean Payton. I know he's not coaching right now, but I'd get him off the bench if I could. I mean, if he just wanted to go to playoffs almost every single year, he's your guy, I think.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you know, I'll tell you the guy who I think is underrated right now, and is Sean McDermott of Buffalo. I think McDermott's done a really good job with that Buffalo football team. Now he has some pieces too. I mean, it helps to have Josh Allen, but I think he's done a really good job with that team. I just don't think that the best coach of the NFL right now is so clear cut. I don't think it's Belichick anymore. People keep wanting to put Belichick on that level, but I don't see how you can. I think his drafting has been too shabby in recent years, and this has been obvious decline. You know, the whole Brady thing is a disaster that blew up in his face.
So it's
not him anymore. It's not. I mean, Buffalo beat them by a million in the playoff. I just. It's not him. Maybe it's, you know, and Payton's going to be back. Payton, who knows? He might be the next coach of the Dallas Cowboys. It won't be long before he's back.
But I got Buffalo and Tampa playing in the Super Bowl, and I think Buffalo is going to win it. I think as good as Tom Brady is, I just think maybe that roster is better in Buffalo right now. But who knows? Maybe the Terminator comes out.
Well,
on the football field.
Yeah, the Ryan Jensen loss concerns me. I think his loss at center is a big deal, and Haynesy will replace him. I think Haynesy will do a pretty good job, but Ryan Jensen was a bad A, and Brady liked him. He was like Brady's bodyguard.
All right. Well, I'm out like that guy probably this weekend. Appreciate it.
That's too funny.
For the record, it's my other boss, and he's very experienced in handling snakes. So don't worry about him.
Okay. There's a difference between, you know, handling snakes locally and hunting Burmese pythons in the Everglades. And by the way, the pythons aren't your only concern. They're one of many, many concerns in the Everglades. But I'm planning on making that journey myself at some point. There are many, many concerns. You know, the alligators, the cottonmouths, depending on where you are, the diamondbacks, the coral snakes, the Florida panthers, the bears, there's a whole variety of things that you need to be concerned about in the Everglades.
What about sharks? I feel like you're going to throw sharks
in there too. Maybe two. Red, how are you, Red?
Hey, well, how you doing?
Good, Red. Appreciate you getting in.
Hey, I've watched four straight episodes of Swamp People, and I stayed at Holiday Inn Express last night. Just show me where the snake is, baby. I got it.
That's awesome. You know, that Swamp People show, it never ends well for the alligators.
Never. Shoot him, Elizabeth, shoot him. That's my favorite show. Every Thursday night, it'll be on tonight.
Yeah.
If I get the fifth episode, I'm going with his boss.
That's
y'all
funny. Thank you, Red. That's awesome. I forgot, Will, that you said it was your boss. I was thinking to myself, you just said it was, you know, somebody you knew or something. But no, I'm sure that he's great. We'll wish him well. And Will, if you're the next in line, you know, that's right. By Monday, you could be king.
And I will not be going to wrangle snakes.
All right. I want to get back to the Clemson cast list of the 10 best plays from college football. Or from Clemson college football in the last 10 years. We left off with Notre Dame and the stop of the 2-point conversion in 2015, which I agree with that little selection there. 2016 is the national championship winning play. 2016 is Clemson, Bama, Watson. Again, these are my comments. They're just, you know, they put a video up of the plays. They didn't offer commentary on it. But Clemson, Bama, Watson rolls right, hits Renfro in the little pick play for a national championship. Down 31-28 with 3 seconds left. It's hard to argue with that play, right? I mean, that's the play that changed everything for Clemson. You know, first national championship in forever. Hard to argue with that play. But since we're here from 3 to 7, let's. Okay. Because there's another play from that season that it's easy to forget about. It's the first full game review I ever did. I did like 3 or 4 hours on it. The first time ever was the Clemson-Louisville game, which I thought may have been the best battle of quarterbacks in the history of college football on one field at the same time. The back and forth affair that really Clemson controlled. Louisville went on an enormous run. And then, you know, remember, Will, that game was over until the big kick return. That game was over until that kick return. Louisville, the game was over. Louisville had all the momentum, had the game, and then that big kick return, and it went for like 70 yards or something down to the 10. And then, if I remember correctly, and then Watson was able to get that into the end zone. That changed the whole momentum back towards Clemson. That was an enormous special teams play in that contest. But even that, even that's not the play in the contest I'm thinking of. You know, Clemson's had so many great players in this period of time, but there have been role players who have been vital to the success. And in that Clemson-Louisville game, Marcus Edmund made two of the most impossible plays I've ever seen. One was tackling Lamar Jackson down near the goal line earlier in the game on a play that I thought for sure Jackson was scoring on, and ultimately they had to settle for a field goal. The other, of course, came with 4th and 12, closing seconds of the game. Lamar Jackson drops to throw. He hits James Quick coming across the field. And when I saw that ball completed to Quick, I thought, uh-oh, touchdown. I thought Louisville had won the game. I thought with 100% certainty, Louisville had won the game. It was like, oh, done. And those shallow crosses, et cetera, were open because Clemson was aggressive with their linebackers frequently. And when I saw that ball caught, that completion to Quick, I thought, there's no way he's gone. And then, like from nowhere, Marcus Edmund came to save the day, and he wanted it more than Quick. He you know, there's been debate about whether Quick should have turned back inside. He should not. He should have scored. Quick's effort was not as good as Edmund's effort on that play. Edmund wanted it more. Quick thought he was just going to cruise. He thought that he was just going to turn that up near the sideline and walk into the end zone, and Marcus Edmund had other ideas. Well, one of the truly great defensive plays in this era of Clemson football history that turned a season for Clemson. Because if he doesn't make that play, then Hunter Renfro never happens. If Marcus Edmund does not make that tackle, does not make that play. And again, in open field against what's supposed to be an elite receiver in James Quick. And Marcus Edmund, basically, you know, sort of a role player for Clemson. Marcus Edmund made two of the biggest plays in Clemson football history in that game, and he should always be remembered for it. Quick break.